Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, a real empowering hour, we're going to lead off with the best health benefits from something that a lot of you probably don't eat, okra. Well, if you're from the South, okra is in everything. It's the base of all those gumbos to make them thick. Mike Barrett has some information. I'll share that. Also, for those of you who are concerned about getting your vaccine, you should be, especially the pertussis, because researchers find the first U.S. evidence of vaccine-resistant pertussis. I'll share that with you. Let's say that you're concerned about fluoride toxicity in the water. Well, or in toothpaste or mouthwashes, iodine is going to protect you. I'll give you the latest on that. And a good way to reduce your cancer risk, especially colorectal cancer, there's one thing you can eat that'll make a difference. Then I'm going to do a series of commentaries. I'm very concerned about not just the drone assassination program, but the fact that so many Democrats support it, especially on MSNBC. So we're going to talk about that. I have my own commentaries that I wrote yesterday, but I'll also be sharing Bill Van Acken, Chris Hedges, David Swanson, and also John Quealy, and Glenn Greenwald. We're going to have a lot of input on this today. Then my guest, who is going to be talking about the globalization of NATO, I'm willing to bet that if you stopped 100 people outside the UN who work for the UN, 95% would not be able to tell you what NATO is representing today in the world. And it's serious, because it has morphed since the Cold War into a global threat to peace and stability. We need to know this information. So I brought one of the most insightful scholars in the world on. He's in Ottawa, Canada. He is Professor Mahdi Daris Nazimurada, and he is a top scholar, sociologist, geopolitical analyst, specializing on Middle East and Central Asia. He's a research associate at the Center for Research on Globalization in Montreal. Many of you know that I'm opposed to globalization. I'm opposed to free market vulture capitalism. I'm not opposed to ethical capitalism, but unfortunately, generally it's the small business people that represent the finest example of ethical capitalism, and it's major corporations that represent the ugly dark side of vulture capitalism. We're going to talk about that today. As you see, we have a lot to share. And always I select themes, information, from a progressive perspective, meaning not ideologically right or left, not aligned with political parties, but rather looking for the truth and focusing upon positive ideas. Let's begin. It's nourishing. We just don't eat it enough. You'll find it in almost every household and restaurant in the South. It's okra. It's got a lot of nutrition in it. And like the kiwi fruit, okra actually shares many kiwi fruit benefits. Okra is very high in vitamin C, vitamin K, folate. In fact, it's excellent for helping the body with its folic acid levels. And it's got a really good form of fiber. It helps with digestion, stabilizes your blood sugar, helps control the rate at which sugar is absorbed. So for diabetics, pre-diabetics, and people with metabolic syndrome, it is terrific. Now, considering that one serving gives you over 2.5 grams of fiber, that's good for a single food. It also has B6 and magnesium and niacin. It also helps promote a healthy pregnancy. It helps prevent diabetes. It helps with kidney disease. In fact, there was one study in a peer-reviewed journal that found that regular consumption of okra can help prevent kidney disease. It supports colon health. In fact, okra is a full dietary fiber, which is essential for colon health. And the fiber in okra provides help by cleaning out the gastrointestinal system and allowing your colon to work at a greater level of efficiency. It could help with respiratory issues like asthma because it's rich in antioxidants and vitamin C. And one study found that the consumption of vitamin C was important to help reduce wheezing in childhood and especially among those susceptible to inflammation in the lungs. And it also helps promote healthy skin. It helps you look younger, more vibrant. And it helps if you need rejuvenation to damaged skin. So those are some of the things that you need to know. And it's just a food that we don't consume that we should. Helps with constipation and promotes even good eye health as well. I'm very concerned about the lack of honesty in the entire vaccine safety efficacy issue. It's not that some vaccines don't promote some antibodies, which are protective to a degree in some individuals. That is not in question. What is in question is that there is no vaccine anywhere ever created in history that can prove that it is safe and effective for everyone that uses it, or that it's used in combination with others. There has never been any such study, nor has there been any study of combinations against placebo. So how then, if you've never done the studies of safety and efficacy in combination against placebo and done them correctly, how can you argue then that everyone should be taking and mandating? Because it's about profit. It's not about public health. This is the latest, published in a major peer-reviewed journal, and the New England Journal of Medicine, and it talks about researchers in other countries have found evidence that circulating strains of the Bordetella pertussis have adapted to the acellular vaccine, and researchers today reported similar findings for the first time in U.S. children based on genetic analysis of isolates from hospitalized children. Now, infectious disease experts have been eyeing waning immunity from acellular pertussis vaccines as a contributor to increasing numbers of cases of pertussis or whooping cough in several countries. And evidence is mounting that another factor fueling the outbreaks could be that the bacteria are adapting to the vaccine. And that is what this is showing. So let me put this in perspective that makes it easy to understand in lay language. Let's just say that you have an infection, a serious infection, and you need help. That is where a antibiotic properly given will save your life. And that's why the development of antibiotics was indeed one of the miracles of medicine. However, then they found out that it could be used in livestock to make them fatter, faster. It had nothing to do with protecting the animal's health. It had everything to do with maximizing profits. Today, upwards of 90% of all antibiotics in the United States are fed to cattle and chicken and now fish. It gets them fatter and pigs. But here's the downside. And this downside I first reported in a best-selling book I wrote in 1974 called Body Pollution. And in it, I was talking about antibiotic-resistant bacteria at that time. You can imagine how bad it is today. Why? Because the overuse of antibiotics, especially starting in childhood. And why is it that this generation and the last generation, let's say the last two generations of children in the United States, have had all these inner ear infections? Because of the vaccines. We never had this historically. You can go back and look in the medical literature. I have. It was a rarity. As a result, when you start giving kids antibiotics like candy throughout their infancy and childhood and adolescence and teen years, and then later in life, at the first sign of a cough, they take an antibiotic, even though the cough is likely due to a virus and not a bacteria, which means the antibiotic is virtually worthless but kills all the good bacteria and makes you susceptible to bacterial overgrowth, candida. And then one day when you need that antibiotic, it won't help you. You become resistant. Now they're finding the same thing with the pertussis vaccine. What do you want to bet? That's one of the reasons why they also have seen outbreaks of measles in fully vaccinated children who got all their vaccines for measles, end up with measles, and a worse case of the measles. More on this subject on upcoming programs. A lot of people don't appreciate the toxicity of modern life is impacting iodine levels, according to Dr. Mark Circus from Green Med Info. That's S-I-R-C-U-S. And here's what he says. Quote, that there's growing evidence that Americans would have better health and a lower incidence of cancer and fibrocystic disease of the breast if they consumed more iodine. A decrease in iodine intake coupled with an increased consumption of competing halogens and fluoride and bromide has created an epidemic of iodine deficiency in America. End quote, and that was according to Dr. Donald Miller. Now, according to Dr. Mark Circus, the toxicity that we're all impacted with has lowered our iodine levels, and especially where you have fluoride in the water, and it's having a maximum impact. Now, it is well known that toxic halides, fluoride and bromide, have structure similar to iodine and can competitively inhibit iodine absorption and binding in the body. All the halogens use the same receptors in the body, so fluoride's danger for people is centered in great part on this fact. In fact, Americans and Brazilians, who are more exposed to fluoride than any other populations, have a desperate need for more iodine. Taking iodine in its nascent form is not only the best way to increase iodine levels in the safest and most effective way possible for adults and children whose thyroids are already compromised, but it'll also greatly aid in ridding the body of dangerous fluoride and bromide and chlorine and percolates and heavy metals. Let's just be realistic. In our age of increasing radioactivity and toxic poisoning, specifically with fluoride and chlorine, remember, every time you take a long hot shower, that's chlorine gas you're breathing in, and that's bad, and bromide, and even mercury in your fillings or in the flu vaccine. Iodine is absolutely necessary. Now, why? Iodine is needed inside the cells where it regulates your metabolism. Well, without it, people are known to suffer from swollen glands in the throat and thyroid disease and increase fluoride toxicity and decrease fertility rates, increase death rates in infants, and mental retardation. And so it's absolutely necessary. So make sure that you're getting your iodine in natural form. One good way that we can reduce the risk of colorectal cancer, according to the latest scientific research out there, published in the National Institutes of Health's PubMed, ginger. Yes. Ginger is a natural medicine. It's an herbal tonic. I grow ginger. I don't grow it because I eat the ginger root, which you could. That's where the ginger comes from, because you get these long, beautiful green stems with a white flowering at the end, and at nighttime, it's an aromatic night bloomer. It gives off a wonderful aroma, and I interplant it with lilac, lavender, chrysanthemums, and ginger all together. Boy, that's nice. You could try that around your house. But ginger itself, we should be juicing about a 1 to 2 inch piece in your juice, or you can shave it into some sauce or your brown rice or into a soup. In any case, it has a way of inhibiting and preventing cancer. Colorectal cancer, as we know, is a cancer of the colon or the rectum. It's the third most commonly diagnosed cancer, but it's the second most lethal. And the cancer industry says, well, you're susceptible. So they have this whole massive screening process, and which can include removing polyps and biopsying them, or colonoscopies or CT scans. And then comes the surgery and the chemotherapy. So what else can you do? Well, You can start by making sure that you have a lot of fiber in the diet. The more variety of fiber, like legume fibers from beans, fruit fibers from berries, apple skins, that's terrific, one of the best fibers you can have, and vegetable fibers. You put those all together, and you're going to clean out the intestine. Then make sure you have some lemon juice each day. In fact, some lemon juice with flaxseed oil would be a great way to help turn off inflammation in your intestine. And that helps prevent it. And then use ginger. Ginger is one of the best of the best. Just peel the skin and shave it or juice it. And that's how you use it. And that prevents it. And then one last thing, if you have depression, and many people do, or if you're under stress, one nutrient that does very good for you is coenzyme Q10. It can help maintain a healthy heart. It can restore an ailing heart. But also, according to this latest research, it helps eliminate depression and anxiety. Now, most Americans don't understand that it works for this. But it does. This is just one more thing it does. And we know that stress creates biological markers that show oxidant activity, and oxidative stress can damage the DNA. There was a paper published in the National Center for Biotechnology, and it talked about, quote, it was entitled, "Coenzyme Q10 displays antidepressant-like activity with reduction in hypocamal oxidative nitrosative DNA damage in chronically stressed rats." But the lay language presentation is coenzyme Q10, ubiquinol, it's good for you, not just for the heart, because it can prevent heart attacks, but it's also good for the immune system and for helping with depression. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. Today, we'll talk about why do our bodies store fat when we eat in the evening? Now, I've suggested that we should have at least 3 to 4 hours between our last meal and going to bed. Now, there's even more reason to pay attention to that and to do it. So I'll get into that. As you see, we have a lot of different issues in health, and always from mainstream peer-reviewed literature. I met a person in the airport just a couple days ago, and in fact, it was 2 days ago, and the person was just getting into a car and came over and says, "You're Gary Noll." I said, "Yeah." And the person said, "Hey, I can't listen every day. I can almost never listen live, but I download your shows, and I put them on this doodad that he had and listens throughout the day." And said, "I'm 33 years old. My generation has really had it rough. And yet you rarely hear anyone talk about what's happened to my generation. Could you address it? Because I know that you'll do it justice." Well, fine. Well, today I will address the group of people from 18 to 33, the millennials, because they're getting stressed by all that's happening. It's not going to get any better for them. Individuals may succeed, but the vast majority are going to have it rougher. Mike Shedlock from Global Economic Trend Analysis, the latest, my input. Now, I don't think I'll have time today to do a commentary that I spent a long time writing for today. If I don't, then I will do it on this evening's Progressive Commentary Hour at the beginning. It talks about I accuse, and I am accusing the entire establishment of the corporate Democrats and the corporate Republicans, the corporate liberals and the corporate conservatives. I'm accusing all of you. But how am I accusing? On what specific issues? In an original commentary. I will give it when time permits. I doubt it we'll get to it today because my guest today is going to talk about our political disconnect with the Pentagon, and it's leading us to a crisis in national security and the cost of our militarism. So we really don't have a defense budget, because if we were actually defending Americans, we'd be spending about $100 billion a year. That's it. But we're spending $1.3 trillion a year. Massive militarizing. So that has nothing to do with defense. It has to do with private contractors. And how much money have private contractors made? Let me see. Well, there's actually an analysis of it. And it's very detailed. And it's very scholarly. Oh, and it's $3 trillion. Now you know why we must have a perpetual war on terror. Or war on something. Or make everyone afraid. Or make everyone paranoid. Or the FBI be the primary provocateur of setting up these stupid little sting operations to make it look like someone was going to blow up the world when they weren't. But the FBI convinced them they could and gave them the bombs and everything else, and then arrested them in this big brouhaha, all self-perpetuating. Professor Melvin Goodman, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy in Washington, D.C., professor in governmental studies at Johns Hopkins University, and for 24 years, through the administration of Johnson to George Bush Sr., he served in the CIA and the Department of State as a Soviet analyst. He was also a professor of international relations at the National War College for 18 years. So he's going to be on today, and we're going to talk about the Pentagon, the military-industrial complex, and why you never hear Sean Hannity. Well, you couldn't hear Sean Hannity. He'd rather have a heart attack than take a penny away from the gazillions given to these greedy, corrupt bastards in the military-industrial complex. Isn't it amazing everyone else in the world can actually find the truth, and the people over Fox just are clueless? They're not dumb. And that means this with intent. We're going to get into that. Let's begin. First up, you don't have to go far in America to see a high-fat diet. It's everywhere. It's the number one diet promoted on television. And all those foolish and egotistical chefs who are trying to show you, you know, how hip they are and why we should make them instant idols and how they should be instantaneously the best chef. And, of course, nobody pays attention to the food they're making because, A, you couldn't make it, and, B, if you did, you probably dropped dead of a heart attack. So we're inundated with bad food. High fat is extra bad. This is from mainstream science. This is reported in Medical News Today, published through the University of Illinois College of Medicine, and reported in the peer-reviewed journal Psychoneuroendocrinology. Here's what it says. Quote, we found that a high-fat diet rapidly affected dopamine metabolism in the brain of juvenile mice, triggering anxious behaviors and learning deficits. Interestingly, when Ritalin was administered, the memory problems went away. End quote. Now, what we know is this. When you alter someone's dopamine signaling, you're going to end up obese or overweight, especially in children, and then you can end up with ADD and ADHD. And when the number of dopamine metabolites is higher, anxiety behaviors in children are more prevalent. So that's what they are determining by this. So the high-fat diet is dangerous. It's linked to ADD and ADHD and learning problems. And yet, it was only about 4 years ago that I asked the members of this audience, if you have a child diagnosed and under treatment for ADD and ADHD, I'm going to do a study, a health support group, and we did. And I remember on the first day, the kids were just bouncing all over the place and yelling and screaming and couldn't sit still. But after that, I asked the parents to come but to leave the kids at home, and they did. And what we found was, in the original journals that they all had to write, they, unfortunately, were feeding their kids a lot of sugar, caffeine, and saturated fats. And So the first process was to get them off the fats, then the sugars, then the artificial sweetened products, and the dairy, and then to rebuild their whole immune system, their gut flora, and natural chelating agents. Because you're not going to get a kid to sit in a chair who's got ADD and put a needle in their vein and give them a drip of EDTA for 2 hours. That ain't going to happen. But you can give them drinks and have them drink throughout the day, and the drink is filled with natural chelators that will take the heavy metals like lead and mercury out. And all of them were very high in mercury. So, and a lot of the parents said that they had the ADHD or ADD symptoms after mass vaccines. So this is a study that just shows you how bad a high-fat diet is. And most children and most adults in America are addicted to high-fat foods. Red grapes, which means red grape juice, is good for you. This is a new study from the Journal of Head and Neck Surgery, done at Henry Ford Hospital, Detroit. It says, red wine and red grapes contain resveratrol, a substance which appears to protect against hearing loss and cognitive decline. And then it goes into the actual study and talked about why noise problems and hearing loss can cause all kinds of problems. It can cause sleeping problems, communication problems. You're at a higher risk of heart disease because of greater prevalence of hypertension and blood lipids and blood sugar levels. And so those are just some of the problems. And what they did, they found out that by giving them resveratrol made an enormous improvement because it turns off inflammation. And inflammation is present when you have hearing loss, cognitive decline, and aging. So it was a good study. And it made a difference. So one more reason why a glass of organic grape juice or a glass of non-alcoholic red wine, and you'll get some resveratrol, but the most resveratrol you're going to get if you just take a 100 milligram capsule. That's the best way. One more way to help with lipid emulsions that protect your brain after a stroke. This is from Columbia University Medical Center, and it was published in the peer-reviewed journal PLOS One, and it says, triglyceride lipid emulsions rich in the omega-3 fatty acids injected within a few hours of an ischemic stroke can decrease the amount of damaged brain tissue by 50% or more in mice. The results suggest that the emulsions may be able to reduce some of the long-term neurological and behavioral problems seen in human survivors of neonatal stroke and possibly of adult stroke. So, two things you could do. One, you could follow this example. And again, this is will be posted on my site today. But it's about the omega-3 fatty acids. So loading the body up with omega-3 fatty acids right after a stroke is crucial. Secondly, hyperbaric oxygen. That could help protect that part of the brain not yet destroyed. And even in people who've had a stroke as long ago as 6 years could benefit from hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And also, this is from Rutgers University. It's talking about the effects of prolonged chemotherapy on development of new brain cells and rhythms, quote, may be the cause of fog-like conditions known as chemo brain. Now, we know it's not unusual for cancer patients being treated with chemotherapy to complain about not being able to think clearly. They cannot connect thoughts or concentrate on daily tasks. Well, chemotherapy-induced cognitive impairment, what we call chemo brain, is common. But they haven't been able to figure out the cause of it. And new research is now trying to figure out the actual cause. And this was published in the European Journal of Neuroscience. And my suggestion is this. There is some very exciting new research out showing that magnetic strips that pulse a low infrequent current through the brain can kill the cancer cells. That's something that's in stage three clinical trials in the United States. It's already had their trials there, and they had a substantial improvement in glioblastomas, which are a very fast-growing cancer and frequently lethal. And it was able to help 50% of the people and even cause those people, some to go completely into remission. One guy eliminated his cancer completely, and 24 months later, he still hasn't gotten any cancer back. But the others have substantially increased their lifespan. So there's a lot of therapies other than chemotherapy that could help the body. And we just have to be aware of it. Now, why do your body store fat when you eat at night? This is a study from Vanderbilt University, published in the peer-reviewed journal Current Biology. And here's what it says. It says insulin activity is controlled by the body's circadian clock, which helps explain why not only what you eat, but when you eat matters. And this is the first study to definitively show the connection between our circadian rhythm and insulin activity. Now, what it means is this. The findings suggest that a disruption in that rhythm can lead to obesity and increased risk of diabetes and heart disease. So, here's the takeaway message. Eat your last meal at about 5 to 7 o'clock if you can, and make it a small meal. That should be your smallest meal of the day. Your largest meal should be in the mid-afternoon, lunch. And try not to eat before you go to bed. If you do that, then you're eating in the natural circadian rhythm. So your body isn't jolted by all these nutrients and all this blood sugar that's having to spike. That's why a lot of people that watch television at night, they'll go get ice cream, they'll go get something to eat, because they're used to having something when they watch television. Now they're laying there, they turn off the TV, and they're ready to go to sleep. Here's the problem. The food has to be digested. So now the blood sugar level is going to go up, and with that, insulin goes up, and that changes your whole circadian rhythm. That's highly anabolic. But your body is saying, hold on, it's midnight. I'm catabolic. I want to detox. I want to sleep. I want deep, rapid eye movement sleep. I want to rejuvenate. That's what you want to do. That's what the body wants to do, but you've pulled up in the garage, put on the brake, and then put your foot on the gas pedal. That's what it's like to eat so close to bed, and that's why a lot of people who eat at night and eat large meals at night, which you shouldn't do, that's why they're obese. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us today. I'm Gary Noll. It's the cold season now. Temperatures around the country vary. But this is when a lot of people are spending a lot of time inside and generally in a dry, very dry air environment. That can dry out the mucous membranes. When you dry out the mucous membranes in your nose and in your throat, you're far more susceptible to a bacterial overgrowth. This is especially true at night when for 8 hours, most people are sleeping in dry air, frequently have blankets on and some form of heat, and so the normal mucus that is there to kill off bacteria, eliminate them from the body and viruses, is lessened. So we then overwork. Frequently we overeat. People eat more in cold weather than hot weather, and especially around holiday time. So what do? Well, there's several things we can do, and I'll make it really easy. These would be the top things to do to help prevent a cold. First, try to get some fresh air as often as possible. And try to have a humidifier in your home so that your air is not too dry. Then make sure that you have 3 glasses of healthy, fresh-made juice a day. I would suggest starting your day with a combination of celery, cucumber, green apple, lemon, and grapefruit. Put in there 1 teaspoon of of Manuka honey. That would do an enormous amount to help your body and your immune system. Later in the day, you can have a juice. You could make a juice of a beet and cabbage, which would be terrific, and cucumber. And then you could have a juice like watermelon and lemon in the early evening. The foods that have the strongest ability to protect us against cold and flu would be onion and garlic, those two. I would go really heavy on them. You don't want to ever overcook either. And ideally, you want to have about a half an onion a day raw. Sweet onions, organic sweet onions, dice them, slice them, run them under cold water for about 30 seconds, and then put them in a salad or any other dish you want. With garlic, throwing in a couple cloves of garlic into a juice is really outstanding. That should be done in the evening. That should be your last drink about 2 hours before you go to bed. Have like a 4-ounce juice. You want chlorophyll in there, and so that's where your compounding powders, your green powders, really pay off, with some fresh garlic and vitamin C and zinc. That kills bacteria and viruses and stimulates your immune system and helps the body detoxify while you're sleeping. Now, if you find that you are a little stressed, you're not getting the sleep you should, maybe you haven't eaten as best as you could, then take yourself some echinacea. Echinacea fights inflammation. It's antiviral and antibacterial. It stimulates lymphatic system drainage. It stimulates white blood cells, and it can help reduce cold duration and severity. Also, zinc in the lozenger form. It will kill bacteria and viruses in the throat. It boosts the immune system. And it's really good for you. It's especially good for those people who want to strengthen their nasal defense system. And throat viruses are killed a lot with this. Also, raw Manuka honey into a glass of green tea, decaffeinated green tea, possibly 2 to 3 tea bags. You're getting about 500 milligrams. And you can have that once or twice a day. The Manuka honey is the most medicinal of all honeys. It's good for bacteria. It's good for viruses to kill them off. And according to an article from the Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine, they found that the honey was more effective than a typical cough suppressant at reducing the frequency and severity of nighttime coughing. Also, you could use ginger. It's strongly anti-inflammatory and is rich in phenols and gingerols and shogols. And that all helps relieve the aches and pains. It can help decrease fever. It can help eliminate toxins. It helps the body sweat. And it also helps with nausea. Then something that you can get in capsule form, and there are different heat units. The higher the heat unit, the better it is at healing inflammation, increasing circulation, thinning naturally the blood to preventing clots, and helping the body's immune system. That's cayenne. Cayenne is extremely beneficial. It has antiseptic problems. It also helps the throat and the nasal cavities get rid of a lot of the congested mucus. Astragalus has been used as an herb for a long time. It promotes white blood cell production, and that in turn helps your immune system substantially. I would use that once a day. Also, there's some fruits that are very good for you, and top of the list would be lemon, lime, grapefruit, using the whole skin and seed. Now, that's going to be a little too bitter for most people. That's where you could use some honey to sweeten it up. Kiwi is also very good, and probiotics. So if you'd use that each day, there's no reason, along with vitamin C, with quercetin, every 2 hours, up to bowel tolerance, then back it down. If you start finding you're getting a little upset stomach, then just bring it down less. Some people might be able to do 500, some 1,000. Some of us can do much higher than that because our body has acclimated to it. And we have found that the more vitamin C you're able to take in a 24-hour period, the more kill-off of bacteria and viruses you have and the stronger your immune system. It's also good to help prevent cancer. Now, segueing from that, which can help everyone, and we have people listening right now in every area of the world. And so the items I mentioned, I didn't select everything because I didn't want some of the people, for example, in countries like Russia who listen, or Germany, who might not be able to find all the items. So that's why these are universally available. Now, there's ways that we can help avoid carcinogenic chemicals from getting into our body, because it is the buildup of these carcinogens over a period of time that destroys so many DNA that the body's natural DNA repair mechanisms are not able to keep track. For example, now this is a hard number to fully comprehend. No one knows exactly how many cells the body has. Some say 60 trillion, some say 100 trillion. So let's just go in between. Let's say 80 trillion cells. You have nearly 10,000 gene alterations per day per cell. And that's because of all the chemicals in our diet. The average American consumes more than 200 different toxins each day. Even those of us who try to be extremely conscientious are still breathing air, and we're still in environments, and that gets into us. We frequently work around electromagnetic pulsing equipment. You also have, if you're a person, well, let's say just in an average apartment, people don't have air filters in their apartments, most don't, and they don't realize how much dirt and particulate matter is in there. That all becomes a challenge to the body. But there are some things we can do to really help ourselves. First would be get yourself a good water filter, because more chemicals are going to come through in your water each day that are dangerous or carcinogenic, including now we're finding out that nanoparticulates of medicines goes into the water system. When people flush, they're taking chemotherapy or antidepressant medications or statin drugs. It all goes into the water supply. Currently, our water filtration systems are not able to get rid of all that. And we now know that even in nanoparticle amounts, it can impact the cells. And that, in turn, can kill the cells. And then throughout the day, we are stressed. Stress creates pro-inflammatory cytokines. But so does eating. Most people eat, let's say, a meat-based diet. That definitely creates it. So all day long, free radicals are being created. If you're not taking antioxidants, trap most of those free radicals, then you're going to have more damage than another person would. So get your water clean at the very least. Then don't use microwaves, because microwaves, contrary to what you might have heard from the industry, they change the DNA of the food that they heat at a very high temperature for a short period of time, and you don't want these altered DNA molecules going into your body. Also, every time you're near within 8 foot, that's 8 feet from a microwave, you're causing yourself severe problems. By the way, it's also bad to be around hair dryers. They do a lot of problems also. Also, don't use traditional deodorants because they can contain parabens, aluminum, and other ingredients that end up getting into your system. Instead, best thing in the world, simply wash a couple times a day, and that helps remove the bacteria. The perspiration takes toxins out of the body. As the body is eliminating these toxins, let's say under the armpits, bacteria are there. It is the mixture of the bacteria with the salts, the sebum, the oils, and the water that creates the odors. So if you simply took simple soap and water for 30 seconds, let's say, three times a day. You don't need a deodorant then. Also, buy organic. Buy locally grown organic, certified organic. When you realize how toxic pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and factory farming techniques are, all of it is bad. You don't want that in your body. Remember, food accumulates. So toxins in food accumulate over a period of time. So yeah, no one's going to get sick eating a conventionally pesticide-sprayed tomato or an apple. But what about the 3,000th apple? You start realizing how many things you've eaten that are contaminated, how many hamburgers had bacteria, how many had parasites, how many had antibiotics. Then one day your body no longer can maintain the normal cleansing and detoxification. So that's why eating organic, eating as much raw as possible, and lightly cook when you do. And finally, something everyone should do. Don't hold those cell phones up to your head. There's two ways of using a cell phone to minimize the downside. Put it on speakerphone or use a cord, an earpiece, and then just hold that away from your body. Don't put the cell phone on your belt because it's radiating electromagnetic pulses right into your reproductive system, your prostate, your ovaries. And a lot of people make the mistake of putting it in their pocket. If you put it in the pocket, let's say you put it in your shirt pocket, it's pulsating right into the heart muscle. You don't want that. There's been over 40 studies, different studies, showing how it can increase abnormalities in the brain. In fact, a Swedish study found that by using a cell phone for 10 years, normal usage, you have a 290% increase in development of brain tumors. And those brain tumors, the majority of them were on the side of the head where the user put the phone. So those are some options that can make a difference in our lives. And finally, I was reading a piece from the Dayton Daily News about a woman who is 95 and extremely healthy, a retired physical education elementary school teacher. And what does she attribute her 95 years in good health to be? She says that my husband and I, quote, live on 3 acres and walk there. And one of the best habits I've ever gotten into was walking, exercise, walking. And we also watch our diet and have a healthy diet. So there's one example, but by the way, she's not alone. Senior citizens in Japan who are over 100 years of age attribute diet and walking also to their longevity. I'm Gary Knoll.
I'm going to play a short clip, and I'd like for you to listen to this clip, and then I'd like you to call in and give your comments and your points of view. You agree, you disagree. I'm not going to share my points. I want to hear yours. But I believe that we should pay attention to all the arguments going on out there and then see if any of these arguments are reasonable, if they're documentable, if they're just scare tactics, if there's plausibility. And yet we don't have this kind of discussion. We have just kind of knee-jerk reaction discussions. So listen to this and call in. Our number to call in, our talkback line, is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And also for those of you who are listening over the telephone, the numbers are just through the roof, and we're happy to know that you're able to hear us all over Canada and North America. You don't have to be in front of a radio anymore or a computer to listen to the show. And for those of you who want to be able to listen anywhere over your telephone, which most people download the show over their telephone, the numbers are just astronomical. Our number to call to listen anywhere in America and Canada, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. Now we'll hear some people have a very specific point of view, and then it's your opportunity to call in and share your points of view.
How many more innocent people How many more?
How many more?
What has been the number one cause of unnatural death in history?
Democide, or death by government, has killed 290 million people on record.
Look it up. Go look it up.
In the 20th century, government murdered four times as many people as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined.
USSR, 61,911,000 people killed.
Hitler's Germany, nearly 21 million people killed.
Japan's imperialism, nearly 6 million people killed.
Western colonization killed over 50 million people.
Pol Pot's Cambodia, funded by the U.S. government, 2 million people killed.
China's Communist Party, as many as 76 million people killed between 1949 and 1987.
And the list goes on and on.
Demand to know why the Department of Homeland Security bought more than 1.6 billion hollow point bullets.
How many more people does government have to kill?
Enough.
Enough.
Demand an end to citizen disarmament.
As an American.
As an American citizen.
As a patriot.
For your children.
Enough of the people laying down and letting government kill them en masse after disarming them as they've done throughout history over and over again.
Now is the time.
It's time.
It's time to realize that when the government takes your guns, people die.
It's time to realize the biggest threat to you and your family is government.
It's time to recognize government is the greatest killer of all time.
Demand they show you the word hunting in the Second Amendment.
Demand our politicians uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights as they swore to when they took office.
It's time for our leaders to read the Constitution.
It's time for our leaders to obey the Constitution.
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Because a well-regulated militia with 10-round magazines wouldn't last very long.
So now you know the most dangerous thing to you and your family in the world is government.
Because mass murderers agree, gun control works.
We're out of time. Thank you all for listening.